Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 11, verse 1 through 46. John 11, verses 1 through 46. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." But when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." This he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep." The disciples then said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go so that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." But when she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit, and he was touched, or he was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying?" So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Therefore many of the Jews who came to Mary saw what he had done, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us to EMP and giving us this time to pray and hear your word. And we just pray for your spirit to be here and that you would speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So many of us are very familiar with this story. And I've heard many sermons based on this passage. And I'm sure you have as well. But I hope to shed a new light, maybe. Because for me, when I was reading this and I was hearing another devotional on this passage, I felt like I had this profound revelation from God based on this passage. And I hope to share that with you today. So this story is a well-known story. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were good friends of Jesus. Jesus loved them, and you can see that in the Bible. Mary and Martha invite Jesus into their home. And Lazarus falls sick. The sisters call for Jesus. Jesus comes and raises Lazarus from the dead. And it is a demonstration of Jesus' proclamation that he is the resurrection and the life. And right there already is a cool story and a good sermon and an awesome lesson for us to learn. Because Jesus here shows us that he is the resurrection and the life, that he is above death. And many people, death is one of the things that people most fear. And to hear that Jesus has life and power over death, it leads us to say, man, I want to trust in this man. I want to believe in this man because he is powerful and he has power and life, resurrection over the dead. But I've also heard a few sermons, not just on that, but on this point that I want to share with you, just to prep us into my point, which I want to share with you because I feel like God's given me this revelation. But if we could turn to verse 5 and verse 6, it says this, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, Jesus got up immediately and went to Bethany to see Lazarus." No, that is not what this passage says. But that would make a lot more sense. Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. So Jesus, when he heard that he was sick, he got up immediately and went to Bethany. Or, it doesn't say this either. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But when he heard that he was sick, he was tied up with his work in the place that he was. And he had to stay 2 days longer. And then he made his way to Bethany. That's not what it says either. It says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so he then stayed longer for 2 days. And I looked up the word so, and in Greek, I think it's pronounced un, O-U-N, and it just means, it's usually translated therefore, or so, or then. But then doesn't work in this passage because it's not a time thing. He says Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so the two words that we're left with is either therefore or so. And what this shows us is that it was Jesus' intentional choice to stay for 2 days longer when he heard that the very person that he loved fell sick. Intentionally, Jesus stayed 2 days longer where he was, and then he made his way over there. And it is kind of puzzling. A normal response for anyone that loved someone and heard that this person was sick would be to go right away, especially Jesus, because he could do something about it. A normal response would be him going right away. But as we read on, and as you know the story, what we see is that by delaying his coming, Lazarus dies. And that also, I think, was intentional for Jesus. Jesus knew that Lazarus would die in about 2 days. So he delays himself 2 days to make sure Lazarus dies, and then he makes his way over there. So what is Jesus doing? What I have learned, and what we probably have heard from a few sermons, and I think this is a true and great lesson, it's this. Up to this point, before Jesus had done this very thing of waiting for Lazarus to die, up to this point, Mary and Martha's faith in Jesus was in his ability to heal. Martha and Mary knew and they had experienced Jesus' power to heal sickness, and that was the limit of their revelation of the power of Jesus, the revelation of the glory of Jesus. So they had experienced him to a degree, but it wasn't the fullness of Jesus' glory. And there was more that Jesus wanted to show them. And that's why the delay. And through this experience, by Jesus delaying his coming, Mary and Martha were able to experience the glory of God to a greater degree. They had a greater revelation, a fresh, a new, richer, and deeper revelation of who God is and what he is like. And so now it makes sense for us. We go, oh, that's why Jesus delayed himself 2 days intentionally, so that Lazarus would die and Jesus would be able to show Mary and Martha, you know what, I'm not just a healer. Because we see that throughout the story. Jesus comes and Martha says, Jesus, if you had been here, he would not have died. And then Mary says the same thing. If you had been here. And then the crowd says, this guy healed a blind man. If he was here, wouldn't he have been able to heal Lazarus from the sickness? So people believed in his ability to heal. They knew that he had power. They had experienced it. They had witnessed it. But they didn't know the full extent of his power, the full revelation of his glory. So Jesus comes and reveals his power, reveals himself. A greater revelation is given to Mary and Martha and the crowd because of this delay. And the application of that sermon or that message is sometimes we go through things that we do not understand. We go through things that are very difficult, but God is behind the scene doing something. There is something greater that he wants to show us, something greater that he wants to teach us, something that he wants to reveal to us. And it is both exciting and comforting for us when we are going through a tough time, and it gives us a bit more understanding in regards to our situation. And so that is also a very good lesson, and also a very true lesson. If you look through John 15, the vine and the branches passage, Jesus says that God prunes those who are bearing fruit so that we may bear more fruit. So there is this idea that God refines us through difficult times. When we go through some tough times, those are the times where we grow and where we learn more about God, and God teaches us more of himself as we go through these things. But just last Saturday, I was listening to another person sharing a devotional on this passage. And I was just minding my own business. I was kind of doing my own thing. This person was sharing this devotional. And this revelation, it just hit me pretty hard. And I thought it was very profound. So I want to share this with you. Read verse 5 and 6 again. Let's read that one more time. It says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. According to this passage, why did Jesus stay longer for 2 days extra? It's because he loved them. It says Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. So he stayed longer 2 days when he heard that Lazarus was sick. It wasn't simply to give them a greater revelation. It wasn't simply to teach them something about his glory. And it wasn't just so that he could mature these guys into becoming a strong believer. It says he loved them, and that was why Jesus delayed himself 2 days longer. So I want to suggest this to you. What if this following statement was true? Everything God does because he loves you. Everything God does because he loves you. And it's not everything God does because he wants to teach you something, especially when we're going through tough times. Everything God does because he wants to make you stronger, or he wants to make you more mature. Everything God does because he wants to refine you. Those things may be true, but what this passage suggests to us is everything God does because he loves you. Everything that happens, we can trust that he's doing it because he loves us. You see, when we view God as someone that sometimes allows bad things to happen simply because he wants to refine us, He wants to strengthen us. He wants to mature us, grow us, or teach us something. I think it's hard to trust him. It's hard to love him, and it's hard to really desire to be close to him. Because my attitude would be, if that were the case, God sometimes does bad things, hard things, difficult times, just so that he can teach me something. My attitude would be, I want to keep my distance from you. I'm good, Lord. I'm happy where I am. I don't think I need to be more fruitful. I don't think I need to learn anything else. I'm happy where I am at because I don't want to go through those times. But if I say, as the text shows us, sometimes God allows bad things to happen to us because he loves us, that's a little different. I may not understand necessarily why this is happening, but I can rest assured that his heart is good, that his heart is full of love. He is not an aloof cosmic playwright who is calling all the shots and orchestrating all things for me to become a super Christian. But he's doing everything, and everything that he's doing it because he loves me. And that's why this is happening the way it's happening in my life. And I want to share with you this illustration. This comes from the book Sacred Romance by John Eldridge. And he goes through the movie The Last of the Mohicans. And I saw it a long time ago. There's the main character, Nathaniel. And he is leading his group to safety into this hideout cave. And obviously there's the beautiful woman that falls in love with him. And there's a scene where they're just about to escape this band of Indians that want to kill them. And they almost escape to this cave, but the band of Indians find them. And the story goes, if they are captured, the women in the group might be saved because the Indians will not necessarily kill the women. But the men in this group, if they are captured, the men would be killed because the Indians would kill them. So there is this dramatic scene where Nathaniel is torn between, am I going to stay with Cora, the girl that he loves, or am I going to run away? And the men around him in his group say, you're a coward for even thinking about this. But Nathaniel turns to Cora and says, basically, I love you and I will find you. Just stay alive, I will find you. And Nathaniel jumps off the cliff into the water so that he can run away from this band of Indians that's coming, surely to get them. And Eldridge says, what would Cora have felt to see the man that's supposed to love her, that's supposed to protect her, that's supposed to defend her? He is the one running away, leaving her to be captured by the band of Indians. And Cora is left with a choice whether to believe Nathaniel's words, that his heart is good, that he's doing this because of love, that he's trying to survive this time so that he can one day come back and rescue her again, or he's doing this because he's a coward and he's just leaving her to be captured by the band of Indians. And in a similar way, I think what this passage helps us is it helps us to believe that his heart is good. Because if we just say that God is one that brings us bad times, difficult times, because he wants to teach us something or give us a greater revelation, I mean, that's good, but that's also very hard. If that's our view of God, that our view of God says he only does these things because he wants to teach us or grow us or make us more mature, it says, I say, that's good, God, but man, that sucks. I don't know if I really want that. But if our view says God does this because he loves us, it's different. I know it's just maybe wording, but it's different because now we're talking about his love that is motivating him in this thing that is happening in our lives. And some of us are going through hard times, stressful times. But God is not just doing this to grow us or mature us, to refine us, but he's doing it because he loves us. And whatever we're going through, I think what we can do with this passage is we can put our name there, we can put our situation there, and we can put what God is doing in this situation. For example, and this is a very minor thing, but I have some shoulder pain right now. I've had shoulder pain for a long time. My left shoulder has been hurting for at least a year, And my right one was doing a little bit better, but I went snowboarding and I hurt it pretty bad and it's just not healing. It's been about a month or so and I can't even take a shower properly because I can't put my arm across. So I'm confused. I've gone to the well, I go to physio, I do all these things, but nothing's happening. So I say to myself, Jesus loved Nate. So when he heard that he had pretty bad shoulder pain in both of his shoulders, and he really wishes he could play basketball and work out, but he cannot because of the pain, Jesus delayed his healing. Because that's what's happening. He's delaying his healing. But if we read this passage right, Jesus loves me. So when he hears the well people pray, my friends pray, I pray on my own, that Jesus is, that Nate's shoulders hurt and he wants to do all things, but he can't, Jesus is delaying his healing. Why? I don't know. But if my view of God only says God is trying to teach me patience, or he's trying to teach me that he is my joy, not basketball, not working out, he's stripping me of those things so that I can simply look to him, that's good. But it still is very hard, and I don't know if I could fully trust him. But if my view of God says, I'm not sure why, but I know that this delay is happening because God loves me, then I can trust him, and I can trust his heart behind all this. And so, I guess what I'm saying is our focus can be different. Sometimes we can sometimes just focus on the fact that, God grows us and he matures and he refines us. But that is kind of a difficult God to trust at times. But what this shows us and it reminds us is, those things are true, but the reason behind it is God loves us. And it's his love that is the reason why we are going through these things. And in the midst of these times, we can hold on to the love of God and trust that his heart is good instead of just thinking, what else is going to happen so that I can be refined? What else is going to happen so that I can grow? So that's what I want to leave us with, to ponder on this statement and maybe even to wrestle with this statement. And I've been wrestling with it ever since Saturday when I got those words, everything that happens or everything that God does, he does because he loves you. I'm struggling because I don't know if that's necessarily true. And I'm struggling because is that true? But I want you guys to wrestle with it too. Because what this passage shows us is that that's true. Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. So, therefore, he delayed his coming for 2 days. And Mary and Martha obviously did not understand what Jesus was doing. Because they actually accuse him in a way. They say, hey, if he had been here, but you weren't here. That's kind of the implied accusation. You weren't here, but if you had been here, this would have happened. But it was all done because Jesus loved Martha and Mary. So let's go to the Lord with this statement and just ponder upon it, meditate upon it, wrestle with God, and Janella is going to lead us in a song. Holy Spirit, thank you for this time. I just pray as we sit in your presence, as we sing this song, meditate upon you and your word and this statement. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will lead us into your truth and that you would give us a fuller understanding of what is going on. And especially I pray for those that are going through some tough times right now. And we're not understanding why the delay, why the no answer to prayer. I pray that you would come as you did to Mary and Martha and give them an understanding, Father, in a way that's going to make sense to them, God. Many preachers, many people can say things to them, but really the pain and the difficulty can only be answered by your presence and by your love and by your spirit. So I pray, Holy Spirit, would you do that right now? And we just come before you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father, for your love. We just pray for continued understanding, revelation of your love for us, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for our community together. Let's pray for those that are going through cancer, chemotherapy, transplant, waiting for a transplant. Let's just pray for God. Let's pray and ask Him to really move and bring healing and strength to those that are going through chemo, and that God will quickly bring someone for the last one, Chong's brother-in-law. It's been there for a while. Let's pray for God to move in these situations. Let's pray together. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those, our family members that need healing, but they also need salvation. Let's pray that God's Holy Spirit will reveal to them who He is so that they may come to a saving knowledge of Him. So let's pray together. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for those of us that are going through various illnesses and infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing to come and God's strength to come upon them in this difficult time. Let's pray for them. Let's go to our fourth slide. Let's pray for those of us that are looking for employment. Let's pray for God's breakthrough and for them in this time to be able to use this time wisely, and that God would speak to them in this time. Thank you. Let's go to our Thursday prayer focus. Pray for our missions focus for Thursday. North Korea, let's pray for Chris, our contact there. Bless him and his family. And pray for South Korea as well. Let's pray that for the government and for the churches there to be on fire. And let's pray for Japan, that nation. Let's pray for mercy of God. And let's pray for Pastor Mitsunobu, who is working there in Japan. Let's pray together. Pray for the IP team and the well and Cascade. Let's pray as they are on the front lines of prayer ministry at church. Let's pray for God's protection and strength over them and revelation as they pray, and pray for people for healing as well. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for Hong Kong Korean Church, kind of our mother church. You know, let's really pray your bless, God's blessing over them. And pray for Pastor Choi and for the elders and the leaders, that this church would be one that's healthy and glorifies God and bears a lot of fruit. So let's pray for Hong Kong Korean Church. Let's pray for today's house churches. Let's pray for Elements, Conduit, and Robinson. Let's pray for God's presence there and for a real good time of ministry and sharing and love. So let's pray for the house churches. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your presence here. And as we pray to you now, would you come and speak to us? Would you come in your loving arms, God, and just, you know, speak to us, comfort us, lead us, and guide us. And this day, I pray that we give this day to you, and I pray that we would be able to bring you joy today, that we would be very near you through everything that we do today. And we want to remember you in everything that we do today. Thank you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.